Today is our Friends Day, and we welcome in a special way all of our visitors. We are very grateful for you being here with us today. The different things that we have had going on this morning, we had a great Bible class that Charlie led for us. He's been doing a series of lessons for us on the book of Genesis. And so we want to encourage you, if you would like to come and be a part of that Bible study, 9:30 every Sunday morning, and Charlie's going to be doing that through the end of October. Is that right, Charlie? About somewhere in there is when we'll complete that study. It's been a really good study, and I encourage you to come participate in that. Of course, every Sunday morning, first day of the week, we have worship together, which is what we're doing right now, 10:30. And this morning, after our worship is completed, if everybody just kind of goes like that, you can smell a little bit of that food that's cooking and being in the kitchen in there ready for us. And so we will have our fellowship meal as soon as we finish. And again, you are our honored guest today, and we welcome you to stay with that and let us get a chance to meet you and get to know you a little bit. So that's what we are planning to do this afternoon as soon as we finish our worship. How do we get these slides out of that, too? I had those reversed. But anyway, there's the God's Not Dead 2 that will be coming up next Sunday, 5 o'clock right here. We're talking about friendship. That's what our theme is for today, talking about friendship and what friendship really is all about. And more specifically, we're talking about friendship with God and friendship with His creation. And by the way, that's you and I, okay? God created each and every one of us in His own image. And so the Bible has a lot to tell us about friendship with God and friendship with one another, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And so friendship is perhaps one of the most important things that we have in our lives, okay? Someone has said, as we grow up, we realize it is less important to have lots of friends and more important to have real ones. Okay, now think about what that's really saying. You know, I was saying, what about lots of friends? And better when we have friends to share it with, right? The wise man Solomon said, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 18 and verse 24. So we need to have friends who will stick by us no matter what. Now, sometimes those friends, they want to stick by us, you see, and I just kind of like this, that, you know, we can't promise to fix everything all the time, but we can promise as friends to make sure that nobody has to go through the struggles they have in life by themselves. That is true friendship.
Amen. Okay?
When you're up in life, when everything's going really well, okay, your friends get to know who you are. But when you're down in life, you get to know who your friends really are.
Amen.
Say?
That's right.
Because there's a difference. I like this particular slide right here. You know, I'm going to stick by you, okay? I'm going to always be there for you when you fall. I might laugh a little bit, but I'll help you get back up again. And again, I think that's a quality of true friendship. We can laugh with one another. We can even laugh at one another sometimes. But we're there for one another. That is true friendship. The wise man also said, a friend loves at all times. That's through thick and through thin, through the good times and the bad times. A true friend is someone that we really can count on no matter what is going on in our lives, through the good times and the bad times. And so really, friendship is truly all about building relationships. Okay, that's the key word that I want you to focus on this morning is relationships, because that's where friendship really develops. Okay? There is a huge difference between knowing a lot of people or knowing about people and really knowing someone in a relationship. And the same thing is true about God. There are a lot of people who know about God. There are a lot of people who know concepts of God. But there are fewer people who really know God in relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants with each and every one of us. He wants a relationship with us. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning is relationship. All right? Now, we talk about the Bible for a moment. A lot of people have a struggle with the Bible because they tend to look at the Bible as being a book of a bunch of rules and regulations. It's full of thou shalt and thou shalt not. I mean, you know, does it have some of those in there? Does it have some of those in there? Sure it does, okay? But I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible is not just a book about a bunch of rules. In other words, God didn't just put a list of rules together to make our lives miserable. He said, I'm wants a relationship with us, His creation, and how He wants us to live in relationship with one another. You know, this way. Every single one of you came here, probably the exception of Joe, across the street. But the rest of us came in a car, right? Well, you may or may not have ever realized this, but in your car somewhere, probably in the glove compartment or maybe in a panel in the door, there's an owner's manual. Okay? Now, the owner's manual was put together by the manufacturer, and they put it together so that if you, the design of that is, if you follow the owner's instructions, then your car will last longer, and you will get more use out of it, you'll enjoy it better, and all those kind of things. Why? Because the manufacturer is the one who knows how best it works. Right? Well, if you think about it this way, the Bible is kind of like our owner's manual. And it's written about relationships. Okay? God being the manufacturer, if you will, He's the one that made us. Okay? And He made us to live in relationships with one another. And so He gave us an owner's manual, that is the Bible, that basically says, look, here's what you need to do. You need to learn how to love God, you need to learn how to love people. That's really what it's about, from beginning to end. It is God's owner's manual to help us to learn how to live in relationship. So let's talk about the first part of this, walking with God, in relationship with Him. We go all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, okay? Genesis chapter 3, the text that was read for us this morning. What we find happening here is that there is a relationship that existed between Adam and Eve and God in the beginning. It's a relationship that I call a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. Look at the text and what it says here, okay? Then the man and his wife heard. Okay, they heard something. What was it that they heard? The sound of the Lord God. That's what they heard. Okay? And they heard that sound as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That is the sound that they heard. Now, why is that so significant? Well, when you understand what's taking place here, this is immediately after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they partook and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had told them not to. So they disobeyed God.
Well.
Okay? And after that, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, here's what's going on. When they heard that, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard," look at this, "you in the garden. And I was afraid." Why was he afraid? Because I was naked. In other words, the significance of this is that what they heard in the garden was the Lord. Okay? A strange sound to go, what is that noise? Maybe there's a monster coming, we better hide. That wasn't the case. They knew what that sound was. Well, I think the logical question is, well, how do they know that? Because it happened before. Because that's the kind of relationship they had with God before sin came into the world. One in which God apparently walked in the garden in the cool of the day with them on some kind of a regular basis, yeah, such that they were familiar with that sound. So Adam said, "I heard you." But because of their disobedience, their sin, they were separated from God. The relationship, in other words, was severed. No longer was there a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. Because man sinned and severed that relationship. But because God is so wonderful and so loving and so awesome, maybe I better say that again. Because God is so loving and so wonderful and so awesome.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, I just want to make sure you agreed with that. Okay? God said about His plan of reconciliation. In other words, God set in motion at that time. God set in motion a plan to reconcile His relationship with His creation. A way that every single person would have the ability to be reconciled to God in relationship with Him. In other words, to walk with Him again. He did that through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
So every person that lives and has lived and will live has the opportunity through their own choice and free will to choose to be reconciled in relationship with God so they can walk with Him.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants, is a relationship with us.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul tells us that God demonstrates His own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say, "Okay, you messed up. Now you go and get your life straightened out, and then come back and maybe I'll take you back." That's not how it worked. God said, "You messed up, but I love you so much, I give my Son. I love you because why? Because He wants you back in relationship with Him." That's the kind of God that we have, that loves us that much and wants a relationship with us so much that He would give His only Son to die so that we can be. us. If you're God's creation, raise your hand. Okay, here's a hint for you. Okay, just want to make sure you understood that, okay? Because we are God's creation. And go back again to Genesis chapter 2. We talked about just a moment ago. Before God created the woman and the man, God made this statement. It is not good that the man should be alone.
That's right.
And I wonder partway if one reason God said that is that he knew if he left man to his own devices, he'd be alone. Okay? God decided that it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, God did not intend for his creation to live isolated. He created us for relationships. Now, the context of Genesis 2 is the creation of the woman and the beginning of a marriage, a family relationship, and so forth. But in context, that statement is there. God did not intend for us to live alone. He made us to live and to exist in relationships. Okay? And so it's really not where you're going in life, but it's who you're traveling with that makes all the difference in the world, because it really is about the relationships that we have in our life. Okay? One of the evidences of that, God's desire for us to live and exist in relationships with one another, is a number of one another, what I refer to as one another passages in the New Testament. And here's just a few of them to give you an example. He tells us over in 2 Corinthians, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? And then in 1 Peter, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That means you have somebody over at your house and you don't grumble about them. When are they going to leave? You say? But it's that hospitality we're to give to one another. Okay, that interaction. And 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Okay? And then be devoted to one another. How? In love, he says. And honor one another above yourselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And there are several more one another passages where you know God tells us, look, I want you to live in relationship to one another, and my owner's manual is telling you how to make that happen. How to live and to exist in relationships with one another. Because God wants us to be in relationships with each other. You go back to the question that Jesus was asked about, of all the commandments, and they talk about the Old Testament, of all the commandments, what are the greatest commandments? Which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, basically, is this, love God. Now, specifically, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind, right? With all of it. And then he said, the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So basically what Jesus said is, the commandments can be boiled down to this, love God and love people. That's relationships, right? If you want to please God, okay, and you want to be in a relationship with God, then you've got to love people. Because you see, and someone once asked this question, said, well, how do I show my love for God? I mean, I can't see God, I can't hear Him, I can't touch Him. How do I really show my love for God? Well, I think the best answer to that is this, that we show our love for God by loving one.
Right.
How we relate to one another demonstrates to God how much we love Him. Okay? So basically, that greatest commandment is love God and love people. That's what it's really all about. And finally, we look at this idea, okay, we realize, all right, we need to have friends in life that God intended for us to live in relationship. Choose as friends.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to choose our friends wisely. Why? Because you're going to tend to be like them. All right? The Apostle Paul says it this way, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Amen.
See, so whoever you hang around with, that's most likely the kind of folks you're going to be. You're going to be influenced by other people. Hopefully, you're going to influence other people in a good way. See? But we need to choose our friends carefully. James says it this way in verse 4. Look at what he says here. You adulterous people. Now, the word adulterous is a pretty strong word, isn't it? Means unfaithful. That's what it refers to. You unfaithful people. Don't you know, look at what he says here, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. That's another really strong word, isn't it? The word hatred. That when we are being friends with the world, then that equals hatred, or that word basically means here. So being friends with the world is having ill will toward God. Anyone who, and here's an important word, chooses, because that's really what we do, isn't it? We choose who our friends are. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Well,
again, another really strong word there, isn't it? An enemy. Basically, I think the best way to sum that up is this. You cannot walk with God and hold hands with the devil.
Man.
It's not going to work. See? It's not going to work. You got to choose your friends, and this one says, choose your friends carefully. I'd rather be picky than to pick the wrong friends.
Amen.
So, you know, we do sometimes. We need to be picky about who we're going to be friends with. Okay? John says it this way in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, look at this, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You cannot have it both ways. Okay? Cannot have it both ways. He says simply, do not love the world. Puts it another way, over in Matthew, where he talks about where our treasure is, where your heart is also. So a good way for us to try to figure out, you know, do we love God more than the world, or do we love the world more than God, is to look at and ask ourselves truly, where's your treasure? Because that identifies where your heart is. Again, it's all about the relationships. And here's what it really is about this morning. God wants more than anything else a relationship with you. As I said earlier, God is not interested in religion. Okay? There are lots of folks who have religion. And we hear people all the time talk about, well, I got religion. Well, good. 50 cents might buy you a cheap cup of coffee, but it's not going to save your soul, because God doesn't care about your religion. He cares about a relationship with you. Alright? That's what He wants. He wants, with His creation, what He had in the garden with Adam and Eve before they disobeyed Him and brought sin into the world.
Amen.
That's what He wants with you. And I emphasize you because it is personal. I think another problem we have with I'll just say Christianity today, is that we look at it as collectively. Well, I go to that church, and we feel real good about that. You say,
well,
no. matter of a personal relationship with you. We collectively are the church. We come together as a church to build up one another, encourage one another, and to worship God together. But God wants a relationship with you. More than anything else, that's what God wants. Relationship with you. Where you can walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Him. We're talking about friends today, friendships and relationships. As we finish up this morning, Tom has a song that he's chosen. We're going to sing it. We use it as an invitation song. And this is how it works for those of you who've never been with us before. It's kind of an invitation where anyone can come and say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. I need this, or I need prayers for this, or whatever might be happening. If you need some encouragement, guidance, prayers, whatever. That's what we want to do this morning. It's also for someone that is not yet a Christian, not giving your life to Christ. You need to understand you are separated from Him because of sin. But the great news is that you can be united with Christ again. You can do that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. You can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. You can become His child and begin walking with Him in relationship. That's available to you. Dale, one of our shepherds here, will be in the back, and he'll be back there if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be up front here to receive anyone if you'd like to come up and tell me, and we'll share with the congregation. But we offer this as an opportunity for anyone that, again, encouragement, prayer, guidance, and to become a Christian. That opportunity, all those opportunities are available to you right now. Remember, God, wants from you is a relationship. Let's stand together.